stuff. My husband, he went through chemo, he went through the Hep C cocktail, and he was in immense, we're talking immense pain from head to toe. I, being the empathic person that I am, started having immense pain, and I don't have pain in my body, okay? And I was hurting constantly, and I didn't know what to do. I talked to my doctor about it. She said, "Well, is there something going on with you?" That, "No, it's not my pain, it's his pain." Try telling your doctor that. Fortunately, my doctor, she kind of understands me. She's from India.
She's awesome.
She is. She's really open-minded. And she said, "Well, is there something spiritually that you can do?" And I said, "I don't know. I've been doing everything in my power. I've been asking for healing and all that." And finally, one day, they said, "Cornelian bracelet." I went, "What?" I put on my Cornelian bracelet, and all my pain stopped. So if you have a problem with being empathic, this is a godsend. I started using it, and I have no more pain. I do not pick up his pain anymore. And I'm telling you guys, I was just dying with it. It was killer pain. And I feel for him, literally. But this is a way to shield yourself if you're an empath and picking up other people's pain.
If you have a whole bunch of carnelian stones, can you just carry them in your pocket?
No, it only works on the left wrist or the left middle finger. Now, if you're a lefty, I don't know if it works the same or not. I'm right-handed, but I'm almost ambidextrous. Okay. Mm.
Does it have to encircle your finger, or can it be a stone?
It has to encircle your finger or encircle your wrist, and it has to be bead to bead. You can't have
right.
Wow.
No gaps.
I don't know. I'm just telling you that's the only way it works.
Okay.
I just thought I was.
So it would be a chunky mess.
Do you have the Cornelian rings?
I don't. You can get them at Hot Springs at the rock shops. Buy Cornelian.
No, you can't. I win. They don't have Cornelian bracelets or rings. I asked for Cornelian rings and bracelets at Coleman's, and the lady looked at me like I had four heads. To be fair, I probably did that day.
Wait. Don't remember, we're on Worldwide Blog, and your voice is Carrie. You had a question.
What if you feel animals' pain, their suffering? But it still is out there, it's still happening. But I mean, that blocks it.
It blocks it. What is the purpose of you feeling anyone or anything suffering?
That's true. It's there. I mean, it's happening.
There's no point to the suffering.
Right.
For you. Unless it's your personal suffering. Can you do anything about it?
No.
Okay, then get your Cornelian.
And I've thought that before. I thought, well, what good is it doing me? It's not doing me good, except, you know, you can't see every creature.
Sounds nice.
And it'll keep you from having this, like if you're driving down the road and get overcome.
Yeah, you hit a
rabbit
and you feel...
Woo! Yeah. I mean, I've been brought to tears and almost hit a pullover on the side of the road.
Now, I'm not going to tell you you will not be reactive, emotionally reactive.
Okay.
You're going to still have your own emotions. You're just not going to pick up other people's pain. And they can't drain your energy. That's it.
But you still may have attachments. Things can still attach.
I'm talking about like when you can't go across like an accident site or something like that.
You're not going to feel their pain if you have the Cornelian on.
And but you can still feel the emotions?
Is it attached to you? Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I do psychic work with my Cornelian on, so I still can pick up, okay?
Right.
And I don't pick up their pain, though, but I know where the pain is.
It's like a buffer between you and them, almost.
It is a buffer. I don't need to feel it.
I don't think you had it on the day that you did a reading for me. Do you always wear it?
No, I don't always wear it.
Yeah, because...
It doesn't make a whole lot of difference, though.
Okay.
Tell me about the tarot cards. What?
I don't do tarot cards.
It's the poop. Oh, okay.
I mean, I have some knowledge of tarot. They're a tool. They're simply a tool. And the whole point of tarot is to get you to be aware of your intuition. The cards themselves do pretty well, actually, on their own. It's kind of weird. And if you do the cards for yourself, that's fine, but I do not recommend that you do them more than once a week. If you do it more than once a week, they'll give you really bad readings. Mm-hmm. But I found your interpretation of them is everything. If you'll use the book, it's pretty accurate. Yeah?
They have sites online that with tarot cards. Is that, does it come across electronically, or is that...
No, no. You have to put your energy into the cards. You have to touch them, hold them, put your energy into the cards to make them work. Otherwise, you're doing a casino game.
Right. And when you select a deck, you're supposed to use intuition, right? No. I mean, like a deck.
No. When you're doing, when you hold the deck, you touch the deck with the question that you have in mind that you want answered. Okay, I know more than I think I do. All right. You shuffle. What you do is you hold that deck with what you're asking. What are you asking? Are you asking about a relationship that you're in now? Are you asking about a future relationship? Are you asking about career? You put that into the deck. Then you put them. You shuffle them, and you put them in three different piles, and then you give them to the person, and then they put them out. And it depends upon whether they're upside down or right side up. They have two different meanings.
That's why if someone's doing a reading on you, they will ask you to shuffle the deck.
Yes.
So they can pick up your energy.
Yeah, but you can't do it electronically. It's
that's what I'm saying.
Work.
And
my question was, because within the past week or two, I've been getting a lot of things from Hubichibu woman saying that she wants to read the tarot cards. And I don't know much, but I know it could not have been done.
If you
want to
waste your money, go for it.
Oh, no. Anybody got time for that?
I got some tarot over there.
The Zen ones are beautiful.
What I've been told from the person that did mine a long time ago, she said, "Do not let other people use your deck."
Yes, that is correct,
right.
Except for the question.
Right.
Now, what you do with it is you wrap it in silk. And I would also advise you to use iodized table salt in a box. Wrap them in silk, put them in the box, and cover them. Keep them closed.
Cover them with salt?
Yeah. Just a little bit of salt. Iodized table salt.
A seasoning.
Yeah, like seasoning.
give it a shake.
It gives protection. Not a lot, because you don't want them corroded, depending. Or you can bless the box itself. Using holy water sprinkling it. All right, I know a little bit more. I never did readings using the tarot cards. I did it for myself. I was good.
Were you now? Imagine that.
I'm playing.
The lady that I knew that did them did not use the actual tarot. She used the regular deck.
Where is it? Oh, there. Yeah. Where you use an actual deck of cards.
Yeah. I was in the investment banking business, and she had all these men around me. She looked at me like, what's your profession? Because I was surrounded by men. She thought I was a hooker.
This is pretty darn good. It's a really neat little book, and it tells you how to read a regular deck of cards, which I think is kind of cool. It doesn't matter. They're tools.
Right.
Pendulums. Pendulums are really, really cool.
You can tell pictures on there.
Oh, sorry. Steve. You can draw one over each one.
Picture that.
Just cut them out.
Yeah, stick them in there.
Do you want help?
No.
Okay.
I just have to get myself seated. This is a tall chair, you know.
I'm vertically challenged.
Excuse me.
Okay, I have a question totally off subject if you're ready for another.
Go for it.
Okay. I was watching a show, and it was about the ancients, and it was talking about, actually, maybe an ancient aliens.
Okay.
And it was talking about how some civilizations were so advanced in their medical.
Mm-hmm.
South America.
Mm-hmm.
And that, how did they have this knowledge when they could not see in the body? They were doing, they thought, brain surgeries, open heart surgeries.
Uh-huh.
Did they receive that from?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Wow.
Well, she was in Japan at that time.
She probably was.
We went to Mount Alba in Mexico. And this was a place where they had all these paintings and their grotesque people and the really odd, and they're trying to figure out why. And this shaman kind of took me over, which they do on rare occasions, and was explaining that that was actually like a medical university. Wow. For shaman. They would come from all over Mexico to learn how to do brain surgeries and all these different. And later we found a little museum there, and they had all these skulls where the brain surgeries had been done there. That had actually healed after the surgery itself.
Yes.
And they worked. And they were teaching other shaman how to work with different herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And how to do the surgeries. And then later they found these stones, these round stones. And it was outside of Lima. I can't remember the name of the city. Carol.
Ica. That's Ica. My other question. Imagine that.
You can't imagine that.
I'll just put my phone on now.
And in Ica, they found these caves that had these balls with these pictures, you know, painted or etched on them. And these balls, some of them were as large as this room, and some of them were very small. And they showed the human placenta being used with heart surgeries, which they now do, to keep it from...
The Ica stones is what
they
call
them. The Ica stones.
Yeah.
They're accurate. They're real.
That's what the show is about.
Yeah.
And about the holes being drilled in the heads.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, they're real.
There's something I saw the other night that was Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu?
Machu Picchu. And it's a new radar. It's really something they call a LIDAR. And they fly over it, and it strips everything that's on top. And they've come to find out that what they thought was a little, it is bigger than some of our states. And they also found they've been tunneling under what they thought were little pyramids, and they're getting hundreds of feet down.
Mm-hmm.
And finding intact paintings.
Mm-hmm.
On the sides of the pyramids, and it was really interesting to watch them.
Yeah, that was in Mexico City.
Yes, it was all in Mexico.
Yeah.
But they were showing, and there's hundreds of pyramids that have just...
Oh, they're all over. They're all over Mexico and South America. All over.
Is that from this cycle or from one of the previous?
It's one of the previous cycles. The interesting thing about that was that under the Great Pyramid outside of Mexico City, that they found what they found underneath the pyramid in Giza, under Chips, which is the pit. And it looked the same. Just looked the same. The only difference was they found liquid mercury.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, the pyramids in China, or pyramids, they have pyramids, they found liquid mercury. Mm-hmm. All of these.
Connect. They got their guides, correct?
They're grids. They're
grids, like, yeah, GPS.
Yeah. But they all match.
Yes.
The belt of Orion.
Ah.
There's something that they showed that I thought was very interesting. Several professors have come up with some type of electronic box, and they're finding that all of the pyramids, when they get to the top of them, they're hooking this box, and this is interesting because they get on the ground and it would be a very low frequency, and they're using the new, I can't think of the name of them, the gyrocopters.
Oh yeah.
And they're sending them as high as they can, and the higher they go, the stronger
the energy
that's coming
beacons.
Up. It's beacons. Yes,
they're beacons.
Yeah,
we were told that a long time ago. They're beacons from the pyramids.
Right.
Protection. It's protection. Grid protection. Here, from here. As below, so above.
So it's sending energy out?
Yes.
Transmitting?
Yeah.
To reinforce?
Protection.
A shell of some kind?
Mm-hmm. And there's I read something today where they've like scientifically proven an energy field of unknown origin around the Earth.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I told you, science is our friend.
You just have to have the right tools to measure it.
You have to wait for it to catch up.
You have to wait for it to catch up. That's the problem. You know, you try to tell them, they go, well, you'll get the proof. Just listen now and look for the proof. You'll find it. It's all right there.
And we used to not have penicillin either.
Yeah. Okay. Just stick in your back pocket.
Tesla, I think that one of Tesla's famous phrases was, once they start to study the invisible world, they'll find so much more than they ever did in the physical world.
Absolutely. Because the invisible world is teeming with intelligence and life that we don't have a clue.
And that was going to be a question I was going to ask tonight about dimensions. Can you just kind of describe dimensions and what differentiates one dimension from the next? Because you talk about we being in this dimension, the outer darkness being in the fourth dimension, the priests that were going through, the tourists at the place, they, I guess, were in different dimensions of time. Mm-hmm. What is there an easy way to explain?
No. Not really.
I mean, I kind of visualize them as different vibrational.
They are different vibrational fields. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can get some help. Okay. Makes it easier. We have 10 dimensions. Okay? Every planet has 10 dimensions. And then we have like 6 levels going down, Earth-wise. They're not really dimensions. And we're in 1, 2, and 3, which makes the third dimension. It's kind of like 3D. Okay? We have the fourth dimension, thank you, which is not quite here, but it interfaces, it intermingles with this dimension from time to time. And there are vortices, portals that can happen between dimensions that can have like time leakages. From time to time, if there's a great deal of trauma involved or people have worked very hard psychically, spiritually to keep those portals open or to open them, for vortexes. The 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th dimension are heavens. The first of that would be 5th. That's where you get to see your relatives, you get to be, you get to rest, you get heaven. But the other heavens are higher heavens, and you may or may not be allowed to evolve to go to those heavens. It depends upon your evolvement here. Okay. Not there. Here. And you have the chance and the opportunity, if you evolve here, to have evolvement in heaven and go to those higher levels of learning. The 10th being God, if you will.
And in the dimensions of heaven, are which ones now? 5th, is it 5th through 10th?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's one thing I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. Talking about the reunion you have with your family and whatnot, if you decide to move on in heaven, which you could.
No, you can't. You would have to earn that right.
Well, I mean, if you did, by whatever means.
But you're still going to go through your first, you're going to go through that fifth, that's your entry.
Right.
You have to go through the fifth. That's where the light will carry you, is directly to the fifth. You do not bypass five and go to eight. You're not on an elevator, eighth floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the top four dimensions, do
more than likely,
are there people there who we know also?
Probably not necessarily. Maybe on a soul level.
Yes, what I mean on a soul
but you,
level.
But you have angelics who are part of those dimensions. You have beings that are natural to those particular dimensions. You have councils that are in those particular dimensions. That's God's ruling dimensions for this planet, not for the universe, for this planet.
It's the Earth Division of God, Inc.
Thank you.
It's like a privilege that you gain from evolving to be able to go to the higher level.
If you get to.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I'm being good. I want to get there.
Well, the thing is, you know, if you really got it evolved, you would not understand what was going on around you in any way, shape, or form. You would not be able to comprehend it. It would just completely blow you out of the water. That's why you wouldn't be allowed.
Are they higher vibration level as you go up
much
to
harder.
The 10th? Yeah. I guess.
So you would have to be, you would truly have to be prepared on a soul level to go to those higher dimensions, if you will.
Say Mother Teresa, maybe?
No. I don't mean that kind of evolving. I don't mean sacrifice. Sacrifice is not evolving.
What about Gandhi? Gandhi, maybe Gandhi?
Sacrifice is not evolvement.
Like Enoch from the Bible?
Yes.
Like the ones who were taken up?
He was taken up and shown the nine levels. Okay?
Yes.
That's why he got the keys of Enoch. God allowed him to learn that those were there, that they did exist. So, yes.
Can you repeat what you just said and who you were talking about? Because somebody passed me a book and I got sidetracked.
Enoch. Okay, I'm sorry.
In
the Bible.
Okay, yeah.
But if you live your life in sacrifice, that does not mean you are evolving. It has nothing. If you live your life as a monk on the top of a hill contemplating your navel, that is not evolving. Okay?
Good enough. But if while you're living here, you're cool with God, you and God, cool.
It helps.
Yes! That is what I know.
And
we so.
But you have to be able to interrelate to other people without judgment, without harsh feelings. You have to be able to understand that people do what they do because of who they are, not because of who you are.
Yes.
I got more evolving to do.
The four agreements.
Yeah, but then I make my decision because of this attitude that this person may have. I am going to keep myself away from you in order to maintain my sanity.
That's fine.
Okay.
I have the relatives
number. Because I can't be with craziness. I can't do it.
I can. Why can't you?
Carol.
Carol, not that level of my family, the level of craziness.
Oh, honey. Please.
You're in the South now. You just take them out on the porch and parade them around.
it's everywhere. It's in all families. Look, this place is not for sanity.
This place is evolvement. If you had a lovely relationship with your family, more than likely, you don't have any lessons with them.
Say that again.
It was a sassy little look
here. If you have a lovely relationship with your family, you don't have any lessons with them.
Oh, okay. I had some lessons
then. We all have lessons then. And it's those things that we chose, and we choose our family. Like it or not, we choose our family.
I wonder what I was thinking sometimes. Well, Dana.
I went, me. I'll go down.
Do we see them physically, or do we see them? Is there some kind of, what is it that we see about them that makes us choose them? I wonder.
Yes. What do you mean?
I don't know.
When we're on the other
what
side planning.
You have to learn.
Yes. It's according to your lesson. Let's say you have an Uncle Arthur who molested you as a child and then tried to do everything he could to destroy you. Because he did in many other lifetimes, and you got destroyed by him. So what would your lesson be? You destroy him before he destroys you, which would tie you to him even more.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Keep away from Uncle Arthur.
No.
No, keep away.
No, that's not your lesson.
Forgive him.
Yes.
Yeah, I should forgive.
Yes, you have to forgive him as a creation of God, a soul created by God that has gone askew. You have to forgive them, and you have to release them with love.
Right.
You don't have to forgive what Arthur did to you.
Right. It's not the action we talked about. That's correct.
But you can set boundaries so to make sure that it doesn't happen again. You can.
You don't have to stay around Uncle Arthur. Once you've forgiven him, though, he has no more power with you, and he can't affect you one way or the other. And he is released, and that compelling energy is gone. You don't need it. It doesn't there. It's not there anymore. It's gone. It's been diffused. And oh, there's some crazy old man sitting over there. You don't even hardly know him.
Yeah. How do you know that you have totally forgiven someone?
You pray and you the only way that I can tell you is all of a sudden you feel released. I had a stalker for somewhere around 6 to 8 years. I don't remember exactly anymore. And he was a big dude. He was my boss, actually. But he just kept stalking me, and he would not leave me alone. And I was told he had a Madonna prostitutes syndrome, and I went, oh God. I was told that the only way I'd lose, get rid of him is through death, mine or his. And I mean, he'd leave notes on my house, on my car. It was awful. He wasn't dangerous, thank God. And I was told that I was to forgive him on a soul level. This is where I learned this. From all past lives through present. And I went, really? And they said, yes. And that'll stop him from stalking me? They said, do this. So I actually went to him and I said, I want you to know. And they told me that I had to ask for his forgiveness as well. I told him, I said, I forgive you from all past lives through the present on a soul level. And I ask for your forgiveness from all past lives through present on a soul level. He said yes, and I said yes. That was the last day he ever stalked me. He just disappeared from my life.
What if he hadn't said yes?
It still would have worked.
Because you had asked
because
for it.
Because
if, or you
one,
had given
if
yours.
One
yeah.
person does it, it releases the whole thing. That's what's so amazing to me. Now, I did see once a year he'd come back and visit about 15, 20 minutes. Let me know how he's doing. He'd be gone again.
What's Madonna's prostitutes issue?
He viewed me as, he viewed me as a Madonna with wanting me to be the prostitute.
I was watching it the singer Madonna.
Like
a little bit. Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of switch subjects to auras because I've been really, really distracted. Because every time I see you, you like radiate light.
Yeah, she does, doesn't she?
Just, I mean, because I'm looking at you, but I see the silhouette. You know, of that white.
Yeah, that's my aura.
And do you just see one, or do you see multiples? Or is there, because, I mean, yours is just white, and every time I look at you, I'm just like,
hers is big.
Yes.
And bright.
And it's not something that I normally see.
Yeah.
But with you, it's just...
Have you seen my guides?
No, I just...
They haven't been very visible tonight. I've looked.
Let me look. Let me ask them if they'll appear.
Yeah.
That'd be cool for you. I would please ask for my guides to appear in the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank thee. Let me know if they show up, because I can't tell. They're always kind of around me anyway. But your teacher, your spiritual teacher, should have a white aura. That means you're connected. You're truly connected. Most people have different shades, different colors. They're always pastel. They're not real strong. And you can watch people. It's kind of fun on a plane. I like to watch people's auras because I can tell what they're reading on a book or watching or whatever.
I see they're shy tonight.
Aren't they shy? They're not showing up? Mm-hmm. Huh, that's strange. I guess I figure I'm doing okay on my own.
Now, when you look for, like you say you want them to show up, what do you look for?
I see three light beings.
It looks like white shadows around her.
Yeah, there'll be one tall and two shorter ones.
The tall one was there earlier. He was directly behind you, like early in the night. But and I've seen the one on your right once.
And
but
this one over here is the shortest one.
Yeah, and I haven't seen him tonight.
Okay.
Can you train yourself to see auras? Or is that something that?
Sure, you can.
Yeah, because I'm staring real hard at you right now. Yeah. All I see is just you.
Well, don't stare at me.
Look past me. I'm trying to like
look it. Look past me. Look past me. If you stare at me, you won't see the aura.
See, but I stare at you and I see it. It's just breaking.
You got to start with the bed.
It'd be wise for you to take off your glasses and let your eyes get blurry.
That's exactly what I do because I wear contacts.
The vision's not that bad.
Now, the aura is lighter than the background.
It looks like she has a white shadow around her.
Yeah.
If you can dilate your eyes, it helps too.
No, I can see it now that my eyes are blurry.
There you go.
Like I see like the little white, like almost outline.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's my aura.
Like that. Oh, so apparently I have to take off my glasses.
You do.
You can see your own too. Look in the mirror in your bathroom.
Yeah.
If you have a plain backing.
Yeah.
Wall or door or whatever, yeah.
It's not hard to do. It really isn't. And on my website, I've got the colors of the aura, what they mean, how to see auras, all of that, what it means when you don't have an aura. Or if you have
call Carol. If you don't have an aura, call Carol.
Call for help.
Call Carol.
Yeah, it would be a real good idea. I've had that happen.
When I'm getting on planes, I always check before I get on to make sure that most people have an aura.
Yes, absolutely.
Like checking, I'm like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
So if somebody doesn't have an aura,
they're going to die.
They're going to die.
About 2 weeks in, it's when it
about
starts going.
About 2 weeks, they'll die.
There was that Egypt Air flight, there was a guy who stayed back because he...
He got a gut.
Yeah.
He said he felt like rock, hot rock in his gut, which is a solar plexus. And so he didn't get on the plane. And it got worse every time he started to get on the plane.
Well, we're glad he didn't get on that plane.
I am. But see, they were supposed to. You can't really die before your time. You can do suicide, but even that can be difficult. But when it's your time, you get no warning.
But you have those crossroads.
You do. You do have those pivotal points.
You know, in the past month, I've been having a dream that I'm standing behind a casket and I'm fixing somebody's head in the casket.
That can be one of two things. Either somebody's getting ready to die, or there's going to be a new baby. It can be one or the other.
Okay, there was a new baby 2 days ago.
It can be a new baby, which is, there's no such thing as death. It's always renewal. So it's not always a bad thing.
So the halo became, or the aura actually became the halo in art, did it not?
Yes.
Because generally when you see pictures of apostles and Jesus, whatnot, they show the halo, or they show the aura, which they actually said you could see, you know, around people of high vibration like Jesus. You can physically see, anybody could see it.
Yeah.
But I think that became incorporated just as the halo eventually, which I don't know why they did that. Why didn't they leave it?
They got artistic.
Yeah.
Creative liberty.
Your spirit guide, the short one, is a little bit shorter than you sit in the chair?
Yeah.
Okay. Because he was there.
Oh, and good. So thanks, guys.
Oh,
I appreciate it. I like people know I've got my peeps. No, I didn't mean it.
They haven't been. They have not been hanging like they normally do.
Well.
But you've been getting lots of information tonight.
I have.
Well, they're there.
The tall one has been.
They're there. It just may not be that you're. May just be that you're not
seeing them tonight.
I don't know. Sometimes they show and they're all glowy and everything, and sometimes they don't.
No, because I saw the tall one, and then he kind of faded back, and the short one came, and he was a little bit shorter. He was like right here to you.
On the right, yeah, that's about.
On this side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's good you can see him. I'm glad I'm
not
alone.
I
love my guides. They've been with me since birth. I don't know what I would ever have done without them.
You'd be a hot mess. We all would. And then we'd be hot messes.
Okay, let's say you've never worked with guides, or you don't know if you have any guides, or anything like that. How do you get to see your own guides? Can you just call them out?
Well, once you've done the prayer to open up conversation with your guides, when they show up, they may not show up as a person, but they very often show up as sparks of light, okay? And I mean, they're really just bright sparkles of light. And they very often show up, when you see that, with either incense or floral, okay? And you won't be the only one that'll smell it or necessarily see the sparks. When I was in the Great Pyramid and I was working with Boris Said and J.J. Hertek and this whole group, we were filming there, I got in position. I was in the King's Chamber, and all of a sudden sparks of light were all around me and people could see it. And there was this smell of sandalwood incense, which is really nice because it really smelled like camel hockey. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
So that was really neat. And then the next thing I know, I was gone. I don't remember anything else. But they also can show up as white mist, this white foggy mist. It's pretty dense. And it's been in association with UFO stuff, but I found that it's really guide stuff and it's nothing to be afraid of. There's also a black mist, which is demonic, that is the opposite of the white mist. And it's usually really nasty.
You can see them when you see your aura, though, sometimes in the mirror?
Maybe.
I've
seen them because I've seen them in dream state and I've seen them mentally.
I see them like I see yours, just the white.
Are we talking guides or demonic here?
Guides.
Oh, yeah.
Now, everybody has guides. You all have guides. You have a minimum of three. They're always there for you. They may be male, they may be female. They are not human, they are the Holy Spirits. Yeah.
Okay. Whenever you like, say you're in a situation like I was in a car wreck and I didn't see the car that was coming for me, but I felt like I heard someone yell my name and it drew my attention that
Not
way.
Your guts. That's your guardian angel.
Okay.
Different. They are male or female, can be, they're there to protect you.
See, the voice always sounds to me like my grandmother's voice. That's why it always, I like automatically, I turned around and I looked and I saw it. And they said because I let go of the steering wheel when I heard it, yeah, they were like, had you held on to it, they're like, you probably would have lost like some of your fingers because I lost a lot of skin on my hands when it happened. And they were like, if you wouldn't have let go at that moment, it would have been way worse.
Now, it may have been her along with your guardian angel. Because sometimes...
Well, my grandma's still alive.
Oh, then it was your guardian
angel. Yeah, my grandma's still... She raised me. She's okay. Still
kidding. They were using her voice.
That was something I wanted to bring up that she... When she was talking about someone... I'm sorry, I'm not sure who it was. About not choosing not to go into the light because you want to be with your loved ones and help them. But... If you go into the light,
you help them more.
That's when you can help them, yes.
Yeah, you can help them far more. By you being earthbound, it's dangerous for you, and it keeps the mourning going. Because you're still, they're dripping,
right,
and they're dripping, and you're all mourning each other because you miss each other, and that mourning just goes on and on until they're safely in the light. Where you can then release and feel good about yourself.
Yeah, and my grandma always tells me that my grandpa died in 88, and I was born in 91, and she basically told me that she mourned and felt horrible for years and years and years until I was born.
Well, you might be your grandpa.
She says that I act exactly like him.
Well, see,
she
says
I have. Well, he passed away from diabetes, so there wouldn't be a mark.
I'm kidding.
But I was just kind of wondering because I'm like, she was just in like this haze for years, and she always calls me her light in the forest because she was like, when you were born, and she's like, and you've grown up now, and you were just like your grandfather.
Yeah, could well be. Yeah, we're going to have to wrap this up.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
How do you differentiate between your spirit guides and your guardian angels?
You don't have to worry about it, in all truthfulness. Your guardian angel will be there if you get in any kind of serious danger. They'll warn you. They'll tell you. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. As long as they're taking care of you, that's all that matters. All right, we're going to... Any last minute questions? We're going to make a circle.